All right, welcome to the last episode of the AFLW Fantasy Podcast for the season. You're here with Michael and Bainey. Bainey, how you going?
Good. We made it. We made it till the end. Round 10. We have a champion. How are you going?
Yeah, good, good. It was a stressful weekend, although the season was pretty short. I feel a little drained, to be honest.
Everything was new. It was a venture into the unknown, and we made it. Selby made it. The Wonks made it, and we have a champion. So,
We do, and
yep.
that's part of why it was so draining. One of the contenders, he was a bit stressed about his ranking, and I was getting texts until about 1 o'clock this morning from one of them asking me about the other coaches' players. On that note, we do have a couple of special guests with us today. First and foremost, we have the coach that came into the last round ranked number one, coach of Lucky Seven, also known as Rez. Matt, how are you going?
Yeah, good. Thank you.
It's the way. Our other special guest is a man you've all heard from before, Josh Porter, coach of Porter's Lions, who came into the weekend ranked second. He did spend a couple of weeks up top after appearing on the podcast. The advice was so good, he moved into first within a couple of hours. Josh, how are you going?
I'm well. After being on the podcast, I moved back down to about fourth or fifth. So this will be my last appearance ever again.
Nice.
You boys obviously don't know the results, the final
No.
results for who won.
We do not know.
Right. Well, Bainey and I know, and I assume Selby and the Wongster know, but it actually came down to the last game, to be honest. So I did post on the weekend that this morning that there was like six or seven different players that the top three coaches had, and there was only about 100 points in it. But I guess I should put you boys out of your misery because there's a bit of money on the line.
Yes, please.
So the winner of the 2022 FLW Fantasy, the inaugural winner, is the coach of Lucky Seven, Matt. Congratulations.
Oh, you beauty.
Congrats,
Mate,
Matt.
you're a bit stressed over the weekend.
Oh, I was stressed and I was messaging Porter. I was messaging you.
That's an understatement. 1 o'clock this morning, I was getting messages from you going, "Oh, what unique players does do the other coaches around me have? Am I going to lose?"
Yeah, I was going through every scenario.
Oh, I know.
I was getting messages. Do you think he has a player that's averaging 300 for the week? Do you think that will happen? Like, if Riddell got 300 and we doubled her score, do you think 12th could come home?
Dear.
Poor
Awesome.
guy.
Awesome.
And the runner-up spot. Josh is very confident he's come third. But good news is Josh, by 37 points, has come second. Congratulations, Josh.
Geez, number two, runner up. I'll take that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And
Awesome.
I know you weren't happy with your pod appearance, but you've gone from third pre-pod to post-pod.
Which is good. Yeah, I think I was speaking to Registry throughout the week, and we've actually, it's probably a good time to mention that we've actually done a bit of a gentleman's agreement,
Okay.
which is good in hindsight. But I think Rez and I were talking, or Matt and I were talking at the start of the week. If you had told us, 12 weeks ago that we'd be sitting first and second and we'd walk away with a couple of grand each, we both would have, signed that deal and walked away extremely happy.
Yeah, so just to clarify, Matt, you and Josh agreed that if you came first and second, that you would split the two prize monies evenly. Is that
No idea what he's talking about, actually. We did do a split. I think it was 3,200 to the winner and then 2,000 to second.
So not a straight split down the middle.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes
Nice.
sense.
So Rez will walk away with 3,300. Sorry, Rez walks away with 3,300, and I walk away
Oh,
with 2,000, which
yeah.
is fantastic.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Good work, boys. And obviously, you just walk away with number one and a number two hat, the first ever hats for
Oh,
AFLW Fantasy.
beautiful.
Awesome.
Now, do either of you boys have hats from the men's comp?
Nah, I don't.
No, I've literally just missed out in the past. I think my best last year was 106, so just missed out last year. So this is my first hat.
Fantastic.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, that's about what I think I'm going to finish this year in the women's comp, about 106.
Nice. It was a close finish, wasn't it? Came down to the last game, and Josh, you had Marinoff as captain. And what was the difference in the end between the two teams? Like 20-odd points? 37 points, if I'm not wrong. And Marinoff was on the bench for large parts of that last quarter. How were you feeling, Josh, watching that?
This is a family friendly podcast, so I'm probably not going to share exactly what I was thinking. But I think my season was pretty much ruined in round 8. I trade Bahana to Ballard. And if I don't make that trade, if I simply hold that trade, I sit here number one. So I think I was about 80 points behind Matt coming to this round, and I knew I'd need a monster score to come through. So no chance, but, stoked to finish second.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, that 37 points, not to rub salt in the wound, but I think Noffy spent, like, she was obviously your captain. She spent the last 5 or 10 minutes iced up on the bench, just resting up for the finals. And if she had have had another, 19 points in the last quarter, you would have taken home the win, because Matt didn't have Noffy. So when with the form she was in, I reckon an extra 10 minutes on the field, she would have comfortably got that 19.
Yeah, I'll just become Selby next year. What is it, first and second? Or he's back-to-back in the men's league. So either way, second, podium finish, get a hat,
Nice. Stoked. Nice. And Matt, Rez, can I ask, how were you feeling throughout the whole weekend, especially down to the last match itself, given how tight the finish was? You had one player on field. Yeah, carry on.
Yeah, I was nervous is a bit of an understatement, but with the start and after the first quarter of the last game, I felt like I was in a good spot. And then everyone's on Porter's team started performing good, and then I was getting a bit nervous and throwing in the hat a bit, but all good in the end.
One thing I actually haven't mentioned is that the third position was obviously something that's you've always been stressing about this weekend, as we, especially coming in today, we felt like it was really only the top three that had a chance to win. And the coach that was the K-Dog was coming in second, coming into the last game today, and he had three players playing. But interestingly, it is not the K-Dog that has come third.
What?
Yeah, so we had a coach, I mentioned him to you earlier, Josh, today, a coach of Emeritus Professors. He was seventh coming into the weekend. He had a monster 1,300 and has pushed all the way up to third in the last round.
Huge, huge, yeah.
So what was the gap between second, third, and then the podium finish third and fourth?
I do. The difference between yourself and Emeritus Professors, and I don't, I'm not aware of the coach's name, but the difference is, I want to say 64 or so between second and third, so it was a pretty healthy gap in the end. But the difference between K-Dog and Emeritus is one.
Oh, what?
So, and that's the difference, I believe, you boys might know better than me, but I believe that's the difference between winning prize money and not, isn't it? Third and fourth?
Yeah.
Correct.
So, the K-Dog, I feel a bit sorry for him. But, Porter, you did, you actually spotted something on the weekend about the K-Dog.
Yeah, so K-Dog, we were kind of questioning, because he's come out of nowhere. I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, he was sitting in the mid-30s, and he's just smashed, I think, 2 top 5 weeks back-to-back. But K-Dog is the previous Supercoach BBL champion, was in 2020. So he's got some fantasy pedigree behind him.
Yeah, the BBL, he won the BBL Supercoach comp, which is pretty cool.
Wow, that's cool. That's really cool.
Yes, and rounding out top five was Fossils Fantasy, I think was the name of the coach. Now, obviously, these positions are subject to confirmation by Selby and the fantasy platform, but I did have access to, thanks to the Wongster, I had access to all the teams of the top 10. So The top three, at the very least, are definitely locked in. Unless, in regards to third to fourth, obviously 1 point, the difference does mean that if Champion Data do an adjustment to a player from today, there is a chance that could swap.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah. What a tight finish, wasn't it? The team that came in third, the Professors scored a monster 1287 for the round. And just to compare yourself, Matt, who finished first, I think it was 1197 was your final score for the round. So yeah, 12. Yeah,
terrible 12, score.
1287 was 90 points more. So it kind of was possible to make ground in the last round. Yeah, credit to that coach.
We were talking about it during the week, though. It was interesting being Matt, who finished first, he was protecting his lead. So, for example, he captained Miller to try and bank those points where, you know, myself in second and the other coaches had essentially a free roll of the dice.
Yep.
We had to make up 100 points. So Matt was very conservative. He banked his points, which at the end of the day is secured in first, but second, third, fourth, got to have a free roll of the dice.
Yeah, it's actually what I liked about the prize split with the FLW fantasy was that there was such a big discrepancy between first and second, meant that you were unlikely, if come last round, if you're second or third, to try to just protect that spot from fourth and below, and you still try and sort of shoot for the stars and hit first. I thought that was good.
Yep, agree.
Yeah. The one difference in this platform is that you can't see the teams of the other coaches around you, unlike the AFL Fantasy Men's. So, you know, that led to a bit of sort of game theory, who's going to captain who and who has which players. You had no idea what was going around you. Can I ask, Matt, how did you feel going into the last round? Normally, as house leader, you'd just try to match the team in second or third, but you had no idea who they had and who was your point of difference players?
Yeah, so I sort of knew Porter was going to captain Marinoff, and I knew Riddell would be like pretty, like everyone would sort of captain her with the easy matchup this week.
Yeah.
So I did like contemplate going like Garner over Miller, but because of the 81 point lead going into the round, I just felt like I had to take the safe 92.
Yep.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, obviously, getting a safe 90-something means that the 80 points behind that Josh would have needed a monster score to actually catch you, whereas if you went Garner and she has a shocker, then that puts him right in the box seat, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it turned out, I think I was the only one in the top five with Garner as well, so if I captained her and she got injured or had a bad game, I'd probably slip out of the top five or something like that.
Yeah, I think there was only two in the top 10, actually, that had Garner. But I think that almost all the coaches below you guys had Riddell captain as well. And with her massive 125 early on in the round, you would have been nervous.
Yeah, for sure. I tried getting Conti to Riddell before trades, but I just needed to get Slicer, or however you say her name, because yep. I knew Josh and most of the top 10 would have had her, so just had to try and get her in.
Yes, good thinking. I have a question for one last one for Matt. You had a lot of points banked into the last round. You know, Ferris, Grider, Katie Lynch, Bates, Miller, and Ain from Frio. Was that part of the plan leading up to the last round that you were targeting these players, or were they in your side all along?
Yeah, so I've had Ferris, Grider, Miller, and Ty for pretty much the whole year.
Okay.
But I did trade Miller in, I think it was the week that Bowers got injured.
Okay.
So I've had her for probably half the season anyway. So I didn't trade anyone in for their average over the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay, cool.
It's interesting. You said you were thinking about trading out Conti. The guy I did the podcast with last week, Mr. Richard, suggested Conti was a trade-in target this week.
How'd you feel watching her play? It must have been frustrating.
Yeah, that was painful. She just, like, I think she ended up with like 22 disposals or something, but she just doesn't tackle or mark or anything. And she didn't even get tagged as well. So I went in thinking she'd get like 70 or something, but I think it was 55. So that was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I was cold on Conti this weekend was just because I felt that Lambert was going to tag her as well. But I still bit the bullet and brought in Lambert this week, which was nice because she had a monster 130.
Yeah. High score for the round. I have a question for Josh, if you don't mind. Josh, you were chasing. The difference was 80 points. You tried to go for something different. Can you take us through your thought process in being aggressive to try and make up the deficit?
Yeah, so obviously had to go Marinov purely because I knew Matt didn't have Marinov. So I thought he would have gone Hatchard as captain. So I've got Hatchard and I thought I had to kind of roll the dice and go Marinov because he doesn't have him. I had Birch at the start of the round. I think everybody in the top 10 would have had Birch traded her out this week. So getting rid of Birch was an absolute priority.
Yeah.
And yeah, besides that, I guess the big play was to try and find, in my opinion, a unique that I didn't think anyone would have but was good. So I brought in Lucas Rod, who after a very slow first quarter bossed it for the last three quarters to score over 100. So not good enough. I think I was close to going Miller to try and bank in those points, but at the end of the day, when you're chasing such a high score, you've just got to risk it for biscuit.
Nice. Yeah, it came close though. Came close. And credit to you for giving it a go. There's no other way you could have done it. And yeah, you went out swinging. So, yeah.
And so for next season, I was going to say next year, but it looks like next season will be this year. I guess we call it season 2022.2. I'm not sure. But what have you guys learned from this season? Obviously, it's the first year of AFLW fantasy and it's played out very, very differently to the men's. And I don't know what kind of changes and adjustments will be made as far as structure and things like that. But what have you guys learned out of this season that you might take into next season? Maybe Matt, you go first.
Yeah, so probably starting with like the elite mids is probably the most important thing and completing your midfield. I think I had like a full premium midfield for the last 3 weeks, I think. So a lot of the other coaches in the top 20 would have had Rowbottom and Prasparkas or like Sharar or Hill in those final weeks where I was getting like an extra 30 or 40 points on them. Yep. So, yeah, I sort of made up a lot of ground with the full mid.
Nice. But I mean, usually this year that was definitely in particular, but probably next year as well. Most of the good rookies were also in the midfield though. So how are you going to balance getting players like Bowers and Benici and Hatchard next year, but also wanting to get, you know, the Rowbottom 2.0s and the Prasparkas 2.0s?
Yeah, well, it's going to be tough because there's going to be like so many new players that we've never heard of. So we'll definitely have options, I think, but I don't think they'll be doing what Prasparkas and Rowbottom did because they were amazing throughout the whole year, I reckon.
Mm. Josh, what do you think?
Yeah, pretty much on the exact same page. I think Prasparkas was touted as a number one pick for ages. Rowbottom is a Victorian and the Suns actually flew her up to Queensland and found her a job in Queensland to bring that type of talent up. So I think for me, kind of what we've learned is, you know, you look at your F4, F5, even now, for example, they're averaging mid-50s. So if you have your F4, F5, you know, have a 30, it's not end of your week where, for example, like Matt mentioned, if you had someone like a Rowbottom who went 60, yes, it's still better than that forward score, but the difference between, you know, her and a primo mid going 90 every week, you just need to really fill out those midfield spots as quickly as you can.
Yeah, makes sense. So load up on forward and back rookies, even if they're going to be not performing very well.
Correct. Try and get that cash. Cash is key.
Yep.
Nice. Yeah, no, absolutely. And, I mean, it's going to be really interesting because the AFL have announced that it's likely the next season 22.2 will start in August. But that I did see something about the fact that a lot of the NAB League girls that get drafted won't have actually, like, they're still in the middle of their VCE year. So they actually probably, even getting drafted, won't actually be able to play, or it's going to be difficult for them to play, especially if you're drafted by an interstate team. So that's going to make things interesting regarding the basement price players for 22.2, because, yeah, like, a lot of them, I don't think they're going to be able to play. So you actually might, despite having the four extra teams coming in, we might actually have a bit of a dearth of rookies.
Yep, agree.
Wow, interesting. Good point, Michael. Very interesting point. And the injuries as well, you know, you like Sabanichis may not recover in time for the start of the upcoming season. So that's a shame, yeah.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. ACLs are typically close to 12 months, and there's been obviously an absolute plethora of ACLs this season, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And it means that if they do start that early, and I don't know if it's locked in absolutely, I think it's pretty close to, it means they may miss two, or they will miss two seasons now instead of one, which is huge. Pretty devastating.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Can I ask a question on the season? Who was your player of the season in your squads that you felt made that, or top three players that helped you get into first and second? Can we start with you, Matt?
Yeah. I think Ty was really important for my team. I think she averaged 49, but she was just in every week. I needed her, and the premium rucks weren't doing much better than her anyway. So I started with her and just kept her all year.
Wow.
Probably Conti before this round was really good. I think not many in the top 10 had her, so she was just doing like 85 to 95 every week, but she just lacks that ceiling. So and Webster before the last 2 weeks was really good, but then she fell off a bit as well. So
nice. And yourself, Josh, your top three players you felt like push you to the top of the rankings?
Yeah, so mine was a bit interesting. So obviously Marinoff I had from day one, which was fantastic. Probably the one, and my French, that gave me the shits for half the season was Schleicher. So I had her from day one, I think up to around four or five. I think she was averaging something like low 40s.
Yes, that's right.
And then I literally traded her out 1 week, then the Bowers incident happened. So I had to reverse the trade when Bowers was out for a couple of weeks. Which meant I kept her. And I think from then on, she averaged like 70. So because of a bit of Bowers luck, I kept her. And probably the other one, even though I traded her out for a week, which ended up costing me pick one or number one, is Bahana. So I had Bahana on my field since round one. Yep. Traded her out last week because I thought she'd maxed out in value. Totally forgotten about the averages for this week. Bought in Ballard. Bahana went on to score, I think it was like 65. Ballard scored 12.
Oh, no.
And then bring in Bahana again this week. So
that's
the trade that does it right there.
Wow.
So what you're saying is that trading Bahana in any way, in or out, is a disaster for your team.
Yes.
I think Bahana has had more of a mention on this podcast than any other player.
I think the interesting thing with Bahana is that she will have, you know, a really good game. You think, you know, her value has increased, and then you keep her for another week and she'll go 30. And then you see each week people will drop her off, and then just as people drop her off, she'll tell us another 70. And then more people go back on her, then she'll have another bad week, and then she'll go 70 again. So it was just so inconsistent.
Yeah, I think a big part of that is that a lot of the coaches are obviously, they've been playing men's fantasy for a while, and we're just in that habit of, as soon as you see a player who you started as a rookie drop in price for the first time, you've got to move them on because they're maxed out. And I think a lot of people, you know, like you said with Bahana, she kind of fluctuated. So people felt like she was ready to go. But looking back at what you said earlier, I think maybe the priorities were a little bit off. Maybe because Rowbottom, we felt Empress Barker still had more of an upside and maybe still had more cash to make, that we needed to upgrade Bahana first. But I think that with the lack of forward upgrade targets, maybe, and well, it sounds like what you boys did is upgrade road bottom infra sparks first because the targets are better, regardless of whether the rookie's got a bit of money left to make or not.
Yeah. Yeah. Well summarized, Michael. Well summarized. Yeah. So yeah, it's so good to chat with you all to learn from the best, how you negated this season and to finish first and second. Wow.
Yeah. So next season, are you going to feel any pressure being the reigning premiers?
Not really, but got nothing to lose really. So
yes. Nice.
Well, it depends on what the prize is. That's going to be interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the plan is, but because I mean, obviously we don't know what's happening with fantasy, right? So the AFL, I don't know anything about whether they're going to be jumping on board at any point or what Selby's plan is moving forward. But I think that no matter what happens, we'll have some form of AFLW fantasy next year, and it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, plus it'll be around the AFL fantasy men's and super coach. So you'll have to juggle three things at once, most likely. So that'll be a lot more challenging, I think.
Yeah, that August start from a fantasy perspective, I think it's going to be a little bit fatiguing, especially those of us that have done women's fantasy this year. There's what, 3 days between from the season ending today until the start of the men's comp on Wednesday. And then they're looking at the women's comp starting probably in the pre-finals bye of the men's comp, which means, again, it's going to be a 3 or 4 day break between men's fantasy and Supercoach ending and women's fantasy beginning if they stick with that.
Yeah.
But hopefully, you know, it's just the 1 year. And if they stick with that date moving forward, it means we get a bit of a reprieve in the kind of January to March period in the years moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Still though, there's no, we won't get bored. Oh, that's all I can say. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I reckon we might let you boys go, but it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, and congratulations again on being, I mean, yeah, you make a bit of money, but more importantly, you've got a new hat.
Yeah, that's the main thing. Getting that number one.
Love it. Love it. So
good job, Rez. Congrats.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Congratulations, boys. All the best.
Thanks, guys.
You too.
See ya.
That was fun. Good fun, wasn't it?
Awesome. Awesome. What champions, first and second. Really cool.
They were good sports. And I tell you what, poor Matt, he was such a stressor this weekend, wasn't he?
Yep. I would be if I was him too, banking all those points and then just sitting and waiting. Yeah. I don't know what's more stressful. Yeah.
Yeah, he was really freaking out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny, Josh, I've mentioned this to you, but Josh did say that he put forward that idea to split the prize money a couple of weeks ago. And Rez initially rejected it. I think just because he obviously saw he was in the lead and thought, well, I'm probably going to win, so why would I? But leading up to the weekend, Josh asked him once we had a group chat going, obviously, and Josh asked him now 3 or 4 times, split first and second or whatever we come, you know, first and third or fourth and first and fourth or whatever. And he said no 4 or 5 times. And then I think on Friday night, he might have said, look, I'll sleep on it.
Yeah.
I think he might have maybe done a bit of crunched a few numbers and realized that Porter was actually a good chance maybe pip him. And he thought it's probably safer to guarantee three instead of take a chance at five. So,
yeah. Nice.
No, that was good.
Good blokes, yeah.
Well, it's been a long year, Bainey. Yeah. And I know it's only been, a 10-week season, and we only started this pod in round three.
Yep.
That's unbelievable, to be perfectly honest. We obviously, we only met, you and I, a few days before we started this pod. It was all really kind of spontaneous and out of the blue.
Yep.
But it's been good fun. I have a couple of questions for you.
Yep.
Number one, and this is a question without notice for the listeners at home. Who was your favorite guest we had?
Ooh.
You have to give an answer. You're not sitting on the fence like you always do.
Okay, so
Selby is not an answer. That's cheating.
Okay? That's cheating. My answer,
Of course, it's going to be your answer. Yep. Right? Now, I know that I'd be a terrible parent, right? I know it's not good sport to pick your favorite, but look, if we had two guests, it might be a bit crappy to pick a favorite, but we had like 7 or 8 or 9. So I want a favorite from you. And why?
I think it could be Josh. He's come on board twice now, but he was sort of the first lead into the top echelon of rankings. He gave us an idea of it, and he brought us into that whole space on fighting for the title. So credit to Josh for coming on. And it was so cool that when we brought him on, he was third. And then a few hours later, when lockout lifted, he was first. That was really
and,
cool.
And I mean, he might pretend it wasn't all us, but let's be honest, it was all us.
Can I ask you the same question?
Yeah. Oh, for me, it's easy.
Yeah. Who's that?
Ben was my favorite.
Okay.
Yep. He was Ben Latham. He was just a great bloke, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, we had plenty of good guests, but I just found him really, really good bloke, really to talk to. I think he was one of our longest podcasts just because he had a lot to say, and we seem to all get along really well. So
yeah. But no, thanks to all our guests throughout the whole season, they've made the pod, you know, from Selby to Maddie to Josh to Ben to Sam, Carla. So yeah, amazing.
Carla was good. She was funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've probably missed one. We've probably missed one person in that list. Obviously, Matt today, the winner, was good. But yeah, I guess moving forward, you know, things are going to be interesting for next season. I don't really know what our plan is. Like I said, this was really, you know, an impromptu setup, this podcast. So I guess it depends on, firstly, whether the fantasy season goes ahead for next season, which I'm hoping it will. And then I guess whether people want it back or not. I mean, I imagine most people are going to struggle the next few months without the podcast. They're not going to know what to do with themselves, but we'll, some feedback would be great. I think it would be great if people could reach out and let us know whether they liked it, whether they didn't, whether we should never be on a podcast again, what they think might be good to improve it for next time. People want to reach out if they, I quite like the format of having a coach on from within the community each week to do a review. And I don't know whether maybe we do a, you know, a preview and a review sort of pod each week, so we can maybe cut them down a bit shorter, or
I
guess it really depends what people want, right?
Female representation is important. So if that's a player, if that's a fellow fantasy coach, that'd be so cool to have on the pod.
I would love to have one of their FW players on. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I think a regular female would be awesome.
Yeah, and maybe the Wongster herself, you know, she's the godmother of fantasy, so hopefully we can have her on.
I've been in her ear about getting on, but I think she's a little bit gun shy.
Okay,
she's more a behind the scenes kind of woman, but I'll see what I can do.
Nice.
And I guess I have to make a decision on whether I want to look at your mug for another 6 months or not.
Nice. Yeah.
I mean, the problem is having to find a replacement, right? Where am I going to find someone else that gives terrible advice?
Thanks, Michael. Yeah. It's been good fun, though. It's been good fun. I'm learning a lot from just watching the women's game to watching it from a fantasy perspective.
Yes.
You know, we joke about Conti, but I was at the grounds yesterday and she's such a good player to watch live. Perhaps my favorite player to watch live. The way she kicks the ball, it's a lot like Matt Suckling. But then from a fantasy perspective, it fluctuates a bit too much. So how do you?
It's different. It's interesting. It's very much how I've spoken about Hayley Miller for most of the year. I mean, obviously she had a better second half of the season, the first half of the season, but from a fantasy perspective. But she's one of those players that is just incredible to watch live. Even if her numbers aren't as high as some others. And Conti's another one. You know, we joke that she doesn't, she's very handball happy. But I think she's a chance to take out the AFLW BNF this year. She's been incredible for Richmond. But I think the coach that has, the player that's been the most instrumental to their team, and I've said it a few times, but Emma Swanson, West Coast would just be lost without her. She's just dominated from both a real life perspective and a fantasy perspective. She has just dominated this season as a clear, obviously being listed as a defender in fantasy, despite playing midfield this year. So she's been a clear D1. And she's been the Eagles' top vote getter for every game they've played this year, absolutely no doubt.
Wow. Yep, I agree.
Who has been your favourite player to watch this year from a fantasy perspective? And don't say Benici.
I wrote two names on this paper here in front of me. And Hatchard, I mean, besides that match against, was it the Eagles in round three or round four where she scored 37. Besides that, she scored 37 against the Eagles, yeah, if I'm not wrong. Hatchard,
right, yeah.
Besides that match, she's been an absolute gun this year. And, you know, it's so fun watching her cover the grounds because you just got to, she just captures your attention. I think she's the highest number of marks in the whole season. That's how much she covers the ground. So, yeah. How about you?
To be honest, I did ask the question without notice, so I hadn't. I don't have an answer off the top of my head. I feel like saying Bowers is cheating.
Yeah.
Right. That's, you know, she's kind of the Selby equivalent.
Yeah.
With the players, so that's really hard. For me, it's obviously very influenced by whether I had them or didn't have them.
Yeah.
So I think that Lambert was, like, when Benning, she went down, Lambert was amazing for Collingwood these last few weeks, and bringing her in this week for her 130.
Yep.
It was just amazing. And I think that if Swanson was never suspended, she'd probably be the name I was saying, because I did start with Swanson and she started the year on fire. Unfortunately got suspended, and so I had to trade her, and I traded her to Harrington, who was about the same price at the time and doesn't now... about a 40K difference in price. Gee. So I don't think I can say Swanson, but I think I would objectively if it wasn't for that suspension.
Yeah.
And how did you go, just quickly, this week and for the year? What do you – obviously, lockout hasn't lifted, and we only had the top 10 teams from the Wong Star, so we don't know our actual final ranks, but how did you go?
So I started the round 171st. You know, outside I had contention, but just wanted to finish the year strong. Scored a 12.04 to finish the round 10. I'll take it. You know, it's finishing on a high. Yeah, it's all right for season one. Yourself?
That's a big one. I actually don't know exactly what I got. So I think last I checked before today's game, I think I was on 10.54. So if you add Hatchard and Marinoff to that, what's that? 121 and 96, that's 217 or something. Off the top of my head, don't do maths on podcast. Yeah. So that's about 1280. That's actually pretty big.
Nice, nice.
But that's with a donut. So I brought in Ballard this week from the Crows, who was only like 20K, and she'd had a 60 or something a couple weeks ago. And unfortunately, she was omitted when teams dropped yesterday. And obviously, lockout already happened by then.
Yeah.
But her, because without that donut, I would have hit 1300, which I think possibly would have put me as number one coach for the week in the whole comp. And I was sitting at 146th.
Nice.
So I think I was actually, I think it was 101 points outside of a hat.
Yep.
And I don't know. I still think there's a chance. 1270, 1280 is a really big score.
Yeah.
And I had Captain Riddell plus the unique in Lambert. So fingers crossed. I really don't know where I finished. I reckon it's going to be around the 101 to 110 mark, and I'm going to be absolutely shattered. Obviously, I had that week in round, was it post round three or post round four? I reckon it was post round three, where all my trades were reversed just before lockout due to a technical issue. And that O'Dwyer to Riddell trade in round four. I think it's a 400 or 500 point difference on its own.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but that's right. You live and you learn.
Yes, indeed. Indeed.
All right. It's hot and I want to go have a drink. You done? Yep.
Yes. Yes. Thanks so much for the year. Thanks everyone for listening in and giving us a go for season one. It's been fun. And thanks to Selby, the Wongster. Thanks to our two winners.
Yeah, they've done an amazing job, haven't they?
Yeah.
And so everyone who's had a listen, I don't know why you have subjected yourself to it. There's more masks out there than I thought. But again, feel free to reach out for any feedback. It would be really appreciated. And we will probably catch you all in August.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks, Michael. Thanks, everyone. Benny. See ya.